I really appreciate having a relationship with God. I hope you do too. I hope that you understand what it means to have a relationship with God. And this crazy time that we're finding ourselves in, and as a nation, and things that are going on around us. And I really have been feeling God has just called us as a church to get back to foundational basics. And in our modern society, it seems to at times mock the truth and it exalts lies. We live in a time where right is classified as wrong, and wrong is classified as right. Many people, they believe that there are no moral absolutes, right? I mean, there's just no moral absolutes. If it feels good, do it, or anything goes, or we just have differing opinions, right? You see, these are reflected in those kind of statements. What is right for you may not be right for me. You know, those are interesting statements. I'm sure you have heard time and time again from some of your friends and family members. You know, that it's okay that we just different, that we have differences and differences of opinion. You see, but our nation was founded on biblical principles, and we see that today our society, the foundation is crumbling beneath our feet as we know it. James Madison, the fourth president of the United States, he said this: "We stake the future of this country on our ability to govern ourselves under the principles of the Ten Commandments." Now I find that interesting because I really have been studying and feeling impressed by God to talk about the Ten Commandments. And so we're going to be entering into our sermon series for the next few weeks. We won't take 10 weeks potentially unless the Lord wants us to. But we want to talk about the Ten Commandments and understanding and finding the similarities between the nation of Israel and the nation of the United States of America. Basically, the then and the now. And so as we talk about this, the Ten Commandments, this is one of those things that are one of those, those items, if you will, if you want to call them items or documents of purpose, they're those that are very challenged lately. So we see many, many people in government are wanting to take posters or facades of the Ten Commandments down, taking the very words in which the Bible talks about as a moral compass, if you will, an absolute truth, if you will. And so I want to kind of give you a little back history of the Ten Commandments this morning, and we're just going to talk about in this sermon series of why the Ten Commandments are so vital to us today, and why that they're important historically, and yet why they're important for us, and how do we use them in our lives and translate this into life-giving holiness for today. But to kind of go back at this morning, I want to give you an idea of what took place when God had given Moses the Ten Commandments. I'm just going to read for you. I don't have it on the screen, but I'm going to be in Exodus chapter 19. If you want to take your cell phones or if you have your Bible, we're going to be camping out in Exodus chapter 20. But I want to give you a little bit of backstory in Exodus chapter 19, where we're really given a great example of God speaking to a nation. So Exodus chapter 19, I want to start with verse 3. When Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites," God said to Moses. Let's jump to verse 16 through 19. "So on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it like fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. Now I want to jump to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, if you're following along, verse 18 through 21. This is what happened. This is the account of what the people saw. Verse 18, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled in fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen." But God did not, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, "Don't be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Now, I wanted to share with you that brief account. Now, I really, really, really shortened that account for time's sake this morning. But I want you to understand something so very huge about this way, is that God does not just speak in small, quiet voices. You see, God is God. God is all-powerful. And when God spoke to the nation of Israel, when God was there, his presence was like thunder. It was like lightning. It was like a trumpet. And people trembled in fear. Now, as we are 21st century Christians in here today, I mean, it's 2021. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I thought in the year 2021, we would be flying little cars around like the Jetsons, right? Like, I thought 2021, I mean, holy cow, we would have little flying jetpacks or something cool. I'm completely disappointed in 2021. Because I thought, man, we would be just like teleported or something. No, it's just not happening. But you see, as 21st century Christians, I think we have lost at some point the grandeur and the majesty of the Almighty God. It's almost as if God was God, and then all throughout the generations and all throughout the generations, we've lost the majesty and the mightiness and the grandeur of God. And so we have to get back to this thought that God is a God of thunder. God is a God of fear, respect, and honor. When people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet that represents God's presence, they trembled in fear. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never trembled in fear. I've never had the chance to. I've never trembled in fear. I've been scared. I've been jumpy. You know, you watch those stupid movies that are like, you know, they just are out there to scare you. I don't like to partake in that kind of stupid stuff. Because I don't like that. I mean, we were watching a movie the other day, and it was like this cool space sci-fi movie, and it was just like, this is one of those. No, it was the underwater one. Remember, guys? We were watching this underwater sci-fi movie. It was really cool at first, but the whole movie, the entire time, all of a sudden, it would just be the music and the scary music, and they're kind of like bubbling through the ocean floor, and pink, something jumped at you. So we're like, okay, that was fine. And then the whole movie was just these stupid things jumping out at you. And we're like, why are we doing this? Why are we watching this? Who likes this stupid stuff? So that's probably the closest fearful situation I've ever been in. But see, I've never trembled in fear. I've never trembled in fear. And you see, at the presence of the Almighty, you tremble with fear. In the presence of the Holy God of all gods, we tremble in fear. And so as we think of what the people heard and saw, I would love for you to read those two chapters when you go home today or throughout the week. Please read this account because I want you to get familiar with it. So read Exodus 19 and read Exodus 20. You'll see God in a different light. You see, the people weren't even allowed to step foot on Mount Sinai when the presence of God was there. They weren't even allowed that. You know, see, God said, Moses, listen, you better put a barricade around. They cannot even step one foot into the presence of the Almighty, for they will surely die. And so when we get that picture of God, when we understand this picture of the Holy, the Almighty, the one who is like a trumpet sound amidst thunder and lightning and smoke, we probably should listen to what he says. Amen? We probably should listen to what he says because he's the Almighty. And so when God spoke to Moses, he said, listen, this is what I want you to understand. And Moses is receiving the Ten Commandments at that point. And so Moses was the chosen, the holy, the sanctified one to receive the message to the people. And so with that introduction to the Almighty, I want us to, as a church, as a congregation, I want us to understand what it is to what and realize and memorize and understand what God said. Because I think it's important. And so I want to take a look at the Ten Commandments as a whole. And then we're going to focus in on the first one today. And so how many of you could say that you've wrapped your mind around the whole Ten Commandments? You know, you don't have to raise your hand. But how many can you list? God gave us 10 fingers for a reason. How many can you think about? We shouldn't murder, right? And the list goes on, and I'm done. We got one or two maybe, right? Now today, I hope that I'm going to give, this series, really, I hope that I'm going to give you opportunity to memorize the commandments in a very, very simple way. I've got a video for you today, and this is how I learn. I learn visually, and we all do too, but I learn best at like a first or second grade level. I admit it. A first or second grade level. And so I want to show you this video so that it helps us. And this isn't the first or the last. This isn't the last time you'll see this video. I just want to share it with you so that we will be able to now memorize the Ten Commandments. And then we can jump into the first one as we unfold it. Let's take a look at that video.
The first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. Look at the runner. He's coming in first. He's number one. The first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. That means God should be number one in your life. The second commandment is, you shall not make yourself any graven image. That is, don't bow down to anything but God. Look at that man. He's bowing down to an idol in the shape of a number two. The second commandment is, you shall not make yourself any graven image. Don't bow down to anything but God. The third commandment is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Don't use your lips to dishonor God. Look at those big red lips. They're dishonoring God, and they're in the shape of the number three. The third commandment is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Don't neglect the things of God. Look at that boy. He watches TV all the time and never gives special time to God, and he's inside the number four, reminding us that the fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The fifth commandment is, honor your father and your mother. Look at mom and dad. Oh, they've shaped themselves into the number five, reminding us that the fifth commandment, number five, is honor your father and your mother. Uh-oh, look at that bomb. It could kill someone. And it's in the shape of the number six, reminding us the sixth commandment is, you shall not kill. The seventh commandment is, you shall not commit adultery. Adultery leaves a heart broken. Always be faithful to the one you marry. Look at that heart. Inside it is the number seven, and it's broken, reminding us that the seventh commandment is, you shall not commit adultery. The eighth commandment is, you shall not steal. Look at this burglar, this thief. He's trying to steal something. His mask is in the shape of a number eight, reminding us the eighth commandment is, you shall not steal. The ninth commandment is, you shall not lie. That means we should always speak the truth. Look at that nine. He's lying in bed. He's a lying nine, reminding us that the ninth commandment is, you shall not lie. The tenth commandment is, you shall not covet. We shouldn't want what others have. We shouldn't be greedy. Look at that greedy man looking through the doorway at the diamond ring. The doorway and the ring are in the shape of the number 10, reminding us that the tenth commandment is, you shall not covet.
Another way to remember the Ten Commandments. Now, go ahead, Leslie, put that picture up there of all ten. This is something that it's proven that we memorize through images way better than words or even hearing. And so as we think of those little images, that should help you remember the Ten Commandments and put those to memory. I'm telling you what, I as an adult, as a pastor, and we've been talking about the Ten Commandments, I've focused in my mind and remembering, oh, those big red lips, number three. Yeah, I know what that is. So it helps. Trust me, it helps. And so, you have a very bright pastor before you today. Just saying. So you're going to grab a hold of these. I want us to memorize at the very least. I want us to memorize the Ten Commandments because the point is that they're important. Let's take a look at the number one. Let's take a look at number one. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 3 says, and God spoke all of these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, this is the first commandment. This is the first commandment that God had put out there. His power was on display at this moment. These commandments took place at Mount Sinai, and he's simply saying, hey, listen, nation of Israel and everyone beyond you, who is your God? Who is your God? Who are you worshiping? As we read about the Israelites in the desert, the Bible shows us a theme that there are very selfish people. That the Israelites, as they were wandering through the desert, as God had rescued them, years and years and years had gone by, and they became so selfish. They became grumblers. They in fact even asked and they created idols and other gods, and they were just wandering. You see, a nation who has many, many, many false gods, God sets it straight right away. Number one, do not have any other gods besides me. There's only one God. You see, this first commandment to us, I guess it would seem like it's pretty simple, right? Like we get that. I don't think in here today, maybe some on Facebook this morning, maybe online, as they're watching, but I don't think that we have any secret followers of Zeus or Buddha in here. Maybe you have a closet obsession with Hinduism. Maybe some, I don't know. I rarely think that that's the case. And that this number one commandment for you is just like, yeah, I got this. God's number one. We get it. Move on. Let's go to number two. You know, I can't help but let's unpack this number one for a minute, can we? Because I think we get it that there's only one God. We pretty much live in a monotheistic culture that we realize that, yep, there's one God, and, you know, he's the big guy upstairs, right? And let's pray to the man upstairs. I mean, a lot of our culture really realizes that, yeah, there's only one God, and, yeah, he should be revered above all. But you see, I want to take it a little bit deeper today and understand that God does not always take a physical form, or a God doesn't always take a physical form. You don't have to have certain little temples in your backyard or things of idol worship in your home to call that a god. You see, it doesn't always have to take a physical form. Like a false god in our lives can creep into our lives without even knowing it. See, a likely candidate for a false god in today's world, and even in our church today, and even in my life personally, is the God of more. The God of more. You see, as Americans, we value more. We value more. More toys in our garage. More rooms in our home. More money in the bank. More money in our paychecks. More exotic vacations. More fun on the weekends. More pleasure and excitement. More activities for our kids. And the list goes on. You see, we value the God of more. And everybody said, ouch. Ugh. I said, ouch. I'm like, oh, yeah. The God of more. You see, most of us spend a good or most of our time developing the more in our lives. Let's face it, guilty as charged. I mean, we spend our time developing more, whether it's in our job or in our home, our family life, our savings to get the more vacation. You get the point. You see, we've got to be careful not to serve the God of more. You know, our focus, our priority as Christians must be like Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added or given unto you. See, that's Jesus' way. That's Matthew chapter 6, 33. That's Jesus' way of, this is how you put the God of more into place. You put the God of more to sleep. You put the God of more back into the closet of our lives. And he simply says, just seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Then the more of blessing may or may not come. But first and foremost, seek first the kingdom and the righteousness. And all other things will take place and happen for you as well. So Jesus set the example of putting God number one. You know, even after fasting, remember when Jesus was fasting for 40 days and Satan came by to tempt him in Matthew chapter 4. You see, Jesus said to him, in Matthew 4 verse 10, then Jesus said, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So Jesus used the first commandment to battle Satan. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, New Living Translation says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. See, this word mammon, another translation may use the word mammon. This is an older word used. It's an English word used. It's kind of uncommon in our society, but it means material wealth or possessions, especially as having a debasing influence, which basically says is that the debasing influence reduces in value. So when we use the word mammon, it means to have wealth or possessions that deteriorate in value. And so when we think of being lovers of mammon, we're lovers of mammon, we're lovers of wealth, we're lovers of possessions, basically that don't last or have any value. Now, I'm correlating the first commandment with wealth and money, not as a thus saith the Lord moment. I'm simply bringing us an awareness of other gods in our lives. Other gods that we put before the Almighty. I don't want a blanket statement that we all are doing this. We're horrible mammonites. We're horrible people that love money. And I, don't hear me wrong today, because I don't want to offend anybody and turn you off and go, well, all he doesn't know me. What I understand. But as a society, as in generally speaking, we tend to put the God of more in front of the God of the universe. And so we think about understanding that we put God number one in our lives. And so what does that mean? It means that most things in your life, will match up with putting God number one on the throne of your life. What I mean by that is your time. Spending your time, where do you spend your time? Is it honoring God or is it honoring another God? Where's your time spent? Think about it. I mean, what I mean by that is, are we sharing in the Word? Are we absorbing God's Word, the Bible? Are we spending time in prayer, in the power of the Holy Spirit, on a regular basis? I mean, if you think about your time and where it's spent, who is your God? If you think about your finances, you know, take a look, and it used to be like open your checkbook, but now it's like open your computer to see what your bank is all about. You know, just go online in your bank account. Now, are you honoring God the Almighty with your finances? Or are you honoring the God of more? The list goes on and on and on. Just check yourself if you're putting any other gods before him. Any other gods before him. I think you understand the point this morning. I think you understand that if we have an unhealthy balance with the lordship of our lives, an unhealthy balance with the godship of our hearts, we need to do some repenting and turning from our wicked ways. We need to do some repenting and turning, and at the very least, check yourself and say, Lord, is there any area of my life that I'm putting number one before you? And if there is, be humble enough to say, God, I'm sorry. I want to put you before everything. I shall not have any other gods before you. That's been my prayer. That's my prayer this week as I've been studying and I've been thinking, Lord, is there some place in my life that I need to replace with you? That I've put so much value that you just get set aside and that God takes over. Now, hopefully you're mature enough in here today to understand what I'm talking about. We all have to raise a family and work a job. The mortgage payment has to be paid. You understand. Let's take this as a whole and say, is there something that I'm truly putting before God that I could not do without, that needs replaced by God? So let that be your prayer as the band comes forward this morning, as we think, as we consider, as we wrestle with this thought. I've had to wrestle with this. God, am I in your way? Am I the one that is, am I making myself a God before you? This week, think about your life decisions. Think about your priorities. Think about your choices. To some, it may look like one part of your life is so out of focus, you're placing so much emphasis into that. To some, it may feel like I have got to get this job or this career. So I'm placing all of my emphasis in this pursuit of this job or career. To others, it may be, I need to get married. I'm going to do everything possible to get married or find a relationship or find the one. And so what we end up doing is putting everything into that, and that becomes our source of obsession, our source of God. To others, it may be, I am just pursuing wealth on a grand scale. and I need more wealth. I need to build my 401k. My stocks and my personal profile in the stock market needs to grow. And so therefore you put everything into that, and that becomes your source of God. I want us just to think of what that may be for you today. It may be something super simple, but let's ask the Holy Spirit to say, "Oh, Holy Spirit, fall afresh on me. Is there anything that I need to change? Is there anything in my life that needs to shift, to put God number one in my life?" It's a tough question to ask. It's a tough question to ask. I would encourage you just to seek after the Spirit in this. Let's stand together. Who or what is your God this morning? I pray that the God of thunder and lightning and trumpet sounds and smoke is the God of your life, the number one. Let's pray, God, the God of the universe, we come before you and we come in reverence and awe, with fear and trembling before the Almighty. Lord, you have given us your Holy Spirit on this earth to minister and to convict and to challenge us. And so I pray that your Spirit would challenge me, that your Holy Spirit would flow through me and convict me, rebuke me, correct me, if there is any other gods before you. Lord, I want to honor you with my life. I want to honor you with my heart, with my everything. And so, Lord, I pray that you would cleanse me and you would take away every wickedness, every sin, every desire, every wrong, every other god. Take it away from me.